Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
What an amazing message. Amen. Thank you, Christina. Thank you, Sean and Crystal. Thank you, Jordan. Everybody that's part of One Church Movement. But man, what a powerful song and what a powerful truth. That God, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God dwells in you. God dwells in you, and He dwells in me. So where is God when it's hard? If you're in Christ, He's in you. Where is God when it's joyful? If you're in Christ, He's in you. Where is God when it hurts? If you're in Christ, He's in you. What a profoundly powerful message. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are with us and You will not leave us and You will not forsake us. Lord, no matter what, no matter when, no matter where, if we are in Christ, nothing and no one can separate us from Your love. Nothing and no one can snatch us from Your hand. And so, Lord, tonight, remind us. Remind us of Your power and remind us of Your glory. Now, through Your holy word, speak. And by Your Holy Spirit, take Your word and put it right where it needs to meet each of us tonight. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's Psalm 46:1. That's also the theme of the message tonight. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I want to invite you to open to Daniel chapter 3. If you're in the Red Pew Bible in front of you, that is page 739. And if you are a YouVersion Bible app user, you can tune in to our live event right now. But God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Now, God tells us to count the cost of following Him. Jesus specifically said, count the cost of following Me. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His hand. Jesus said, if they persecuted Me, they will come after you too, for no servant is greater than his master. So count the cost of following Jesus, but trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Trust that if you are in Christ, you are His temple. Trust that if you are in Christ, He is with you and He will not leave you. Trust that if you are in Christ, nothing and no one can snatch you out of His hand. Trust that if you are in Christ, nothing can separate you from His love. Well, we're going to see three men live out the faith in a way that is faithful in the midst of persecution. Daniel chapter 3. We're going to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I told the folks in our business conference that this is one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. And it really is. And if you've never heard this story, you are in for a treat. But I'll remind you of what's happened. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah have been taken in the deportation to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. Judah is falling, and they are going. And so they have gone to be trained. And in chapter 1, if you were here at Vespers on Sunday night, you know that they stood firm in the midst of a king who wanted to give them his food, his drink, but they would not take it. Why? They resolved not to defile themselves because the food and wine of the king had been sacrificed to pagan gods. And by consuming food and consuming drink that had been first sacrificed to pagan gods, you were communing with those pagan gods, and that was forbidden, for our God is a jealous God. And so Daniel spoke up for the four of them and said, we will not defile ourselves. Look upon us with favor, and let us have nothing but vegetables and water. And so God caused the official to look upon them with favor, and what happened? God prospered them. And you would think after they stood firm in strong resolve against that sort of pagan opposition that the rest of their journey would be smooth sailing, but it's not. Because I don't know if you found this or not, but sinners sin. Have you found that sinners sin? Sometimes I think we've lost our minds because we go crazy when sinners sin. And we go, well, what's happening to the world? These sinners are sinning. That's what they do. That's what they do. They can't help it. They don't know any better. They think they're doing the right thing when they're sinning. We used to be like them. And by God's grace, we now know that there's a difference between right and wrong, between following Christ and not following Christ. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar was a sinner, and he would sin. And so Daniel chapter 3, look at verses 1 through 7 with me. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace." Therefore, as soon as all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, all the peoples, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. First thing I want us to see tonight is this. Since the fall, the hearts of humans have been inclined toward idolatry. Since the fall, Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, tree in the middle of the garden, and the serpent. Since the fall, the hearts of humans have been inclined toward idolatry. Now, I'm not making that up. In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul said that for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. What is idolatry? It is worshiping that which is created instead of worshiping the Creator. And God is a jealous God, and rightly so, for he is the pinnacle of all good. He is the pinnacle of all right. He is the pinnacle of all glory. He is the pinnacle of all pinnacles. He is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. And for God to be anything but jealous for his own glory would be for God to be sinful, and God is not able to sin because he is perfect in his holiness. And so God is a jealous God. But since the fall, we have been inclined toward idolatry, and that's not just characters in the Bible. That's us too. How many of you have ever fallen into the trap of worshiping something or someone that is not God? You say, "Well, I've never bowed down and worshiped anything." Okay. How many of you have ever fallen into the trap of devoting your life and existence to serving something or someone that was not God? Maybe it was a green piece of cotton paper with George Washington's picture on it. Maybe it was the stock market. Maybe it was that person who was finally going to make your life wonderful. Maybe it was that job that was finally going to get you where you needed to be. Maybe it was living in that house that would finally establish you within the community. Or maybe it was driving that car that would finally show the world who you really are. How many of you have ever devoted your life to something or someone that is not God? God's a jealous God, and he says, "I come first." So the hearts of human beings have been inclined toward idolatry. And look at verses 8 through 12. "Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Hear a little jealousy there? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember, that's Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah with new names. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Number two, the first two of the Ten Commandments are specific calls against idolatry toward a pure devotion to God. Our devotion, the Bible says, to God must be pure. What's the first commandment? I am the Lord thy God that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I don't know why I memorized it in King James. It was like that on the little plaque I put next to my bed that I thought would keep me from sinning. It didn't work, but that's the way I memorized it. I am the God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of your captivity. You shall have no other gods before me. Pretty clear. Matter of fact, I would say if we could get number one right, numbers 2 through 10 would be included. They would all be wrapped up in that one, because here comes number two. Thou shalt not make for thyself any graven image of any created thing and bow down and worship it. So the first two of the Ten Commandments are specifically against idolatry. And quite frankly, I would say that the essence of all sin is idolatry. Because sin is serving me. I want to do what I want to do. And so I idolize myself over God, and I turn away from what He has said, pure devotion to Him, which is the best life you can live. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided they were going to serve God. They would not bow down and transgress the first two commandments. They would not bow down and worship an image of gold. Maybe they had a sense that what that image was made of, that is so precious in our sight, was really what they paved the streets with in heaven. They weren't going to worship blacktop when God had called them to worship Him. Well, now look at verses 13 through 15. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every other kind of music to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands?" Do you hear that? Who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands? Is Nebuchadnezzar setting himself up against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? No. Nebuchadnezzar's setting himself up against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Number three is this: human pride is blinding, and there is no limit to the destruction caused by ego. Human pride is blinding, and there's no limit to the destruction caused by ego. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride comes before stumbling, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Proverbs 29:23 says, "One's pride will bring him low." And Nebuchadnezzar, who is perhaps the most powerful person on earth at this time, is not simply setting himself up against these three men. He is setting himself up against the God of these three men. Who is the God that is going to rescue you from my hand? Pretty gutsy move. But when you're so filled with pride and self-worship, it can lead you even to set yourself up against God. And I'm going to tell you something that doesn't end well. Let's see how it ends here. Look at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. This be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Number four, the spirit-driven resolve of God's people compels them to stand firm in their faith. The spirit-driven resolve of God's people compels them to stand firm in their faith. Proverbs 28:1 says, "The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous will be bold as a lion." In other words, you might have heard the old adage, when you're right, you don't run. When you're right, you don't run. If, as you read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, and it talks about the armor of God that we are to put on as we stand firm in the faith once for all delivered to the saints in this spiritual battle that we are in, you'll notice that there's no armor on the back of the soldier. No armor on the back. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, foot coverings of the gospel of peace, belt of truth, sword of the Spirit, shield of faith, nothing on the back. Why? Because God calls us to stand firm in the faith. You don't run. Why? Because God is able. Now, that doesn't always make people who are opposed to God, who are setting up a contest between themselves and God, doesn't always make them real happy. Look at verses 19 through 23. "Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated seven times more than it was usually heated, and he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace." Number five, the enemies of God do not respond kindly to the resolve of God's people. The enemies of God do not respond kindly to the resolve of God's people. But watch what God does. Verse 24. "Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, 'Did we not cast three men bound into the fire?' They answered and said to the king, 'True, O king.' He answered and said, 'But I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods.'" Who you reckon that was? I'll go on and tell you, and we can talk about it later. That was the presence of the pre-incarnate Christ. That was the presence of God in human form, and that is Jesus of Nazareth. This is Christ before he came to the earth through the womb of the Virgin Mary. This is the presence of Almighty God with these men, and they who were bound are now walking around freely in the fire. Now, verse 26. "Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God.'" Notice how his tone has changed. "Come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselor gathered together and saw that the fire had not any power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered the servants who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree, any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Number six. God reigns and rules over all things. And all means all. and he never leaves nor forsakes his children. He never leaves nor forsakes his children. God said to Joshua, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." You want to see the hand of God at work? I didn't know that Christina was going to sing a song that she had a hand in writing that was all about our being the temple of the living God, where the presence of God through His Holy Spirit dwells, making remarkably true the notion that God is with us wherever we go if we are in Christ, that He is with us whatever we face if we are in Christ. He is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And if you're in Christ, why is He so present? Because He's in you. And so there's nothing that you face alone. You say, "Sometimes I feel alone." Oh, but you're not. And how many of you have found that feelings can lie? The truth is, you're not alone. You're not alone if you are in Christ. Now, if you're not in Christ, His arms are open to receive you. And He says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." But you, believer, are the temple of the living God. No one snatches you out of His hands. No one rips His presence from you. He will not let you go. The resolve of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was this: we will not bow down and worship anything but the true and living God. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Then I will kill you." And they said, "Then you will kill us." "I will throw you into the fiery furnace." "Well, then you'll throw us into the fiery furnace." "I'll heat it up seven times hotter." "Well, then you'll heat it up seven times hotter." Here's our confidence, O King. Our God can rescue us if He so chooses, or He can take us home to glory. Either way, we win. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had the choice that we often have. Do I do what God wants and hope the king understands? Or do I do what the king wants and hope God understands? They chose to go with God. And it worked out pretty well for them, didn't it? What will you and I do? What will you and I do? The nations rage, Psalm 46 says. The kingdoms totter. But He utters His voice, and the earth melts. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Oh, Father, we thank You for this great truth. We pray that You would remind us of it when the heat is on, that You are with us, You are in us, You are working through us, and You will never let us go. So Lord, give us the strength to stand firm when the heat is on, and give us the resolve to know that though the nations rage, there is none who can overcome You, for Your truth will prevail. And so, Lord, as we prepare to go back out into a world that needs Your love, let us show them Your love. And let us show them Your love even when that's hard. And let us be faithful witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, as we prepare to go, we join our voices and our hearts yet together again, praying the words that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. And in so doing, we answer the question: whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you.